Our scripture is going to come from Acts, the second chapter. And we're going to read a little bit of what Peter had to say as he was speaking and preaching, actually, to those who had experienced what we know as Pentecost. So in Acts chapter 2, I'm going to begin reading at verse number 22. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 22. It says, "You men of Israel, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man accredited and pointed out and shown forth and commended and attested to you by God, by the mighty works and the power of performing wonders and signs which God worked through him right in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, when delivered up according to the definite and fixed purpose and settled plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and put out of the way, killing him by the hands of lawless and wicked men." I'm going to read verse 23 again and ask you to help me at a particular point. "This Jesus, when delivered up according to," what does it say after that? "The definite and fixed purpose and settled plan and foreknowledge of God." Thank you. "You crucified and put out of the way, killing him by the hands of lawless and wicked men. But God raised him up, liberating him from the pangs of death, seeing that it was not possible for him to continue to be controlled or retained by it." Before I continue, the part that I really want you to focus on is that even though these wicked men did what they did to Christ, all of that was part of God's plan. Okay, part of God's plan. Verse 25. Now, when we begin in verse 25, this is where we see how Old Testament prophecy reveals New Testament truths and how God spoke through the prophets about things that Jesus was going to be thinking and that Jesus was going to be saying, especially when he was on the cross. So here in verse 25, it says, "For David says in regard to him, I saw the Lord constantly before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken or overthrown or cast down from my secure and happy state. Therefore, my heart rejoiced and my tongue exulted exceedingly. Moreover, my flesh also will dwell in hope, will encamp, pitch its tent, and dwell in hope in anticipation of the resurrection." So this was something that was holding Jesus steady as he was going through death. Verse 27, this is what he hoped for and what he kept in mind. "For you will not abandon my soul, leaving it helpless in Hades or the state of departed spirits, nor let your Holy One know decay or see destruction of the body after death." Jesus was raised on what day? Okay, yeah, that's it. No trick question. He was raised on what? Okay, he was raised on the third day, because it was on the fourth day that individuals felt that the body was moving toward corruption. So God made sure to raise him before the day. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Verse number 28. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will enrapture me, diffusing my soul with joy, with and in your presence. Now David explains, brethren, it is permitted me to tell you, not David, I'm sorry, Paul. Not Paul, Peter. Peter explains what David is explaining. Brethren, it is permitted me to tell you confidently and with freedom concerning the patriarch David that he both died and was buried. And his tomb is with us to this day. Now look at 30. Being, however, a prophet. Okay, understand, David was a prophet as well as a king. Being, however, a prophet and knowing that God had sealed to him with an oath that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke by foreknowledge, talking about David, of the resurrection of the Christ, the Messiah, that he was not deserted in death and left in Hades, the state of departed spirits, nor did his body know decay or see destruction. This Jesus God raised up, and of that all we, his disciples, are witnesses. God's word for God's people. Amen. So this is why when we are studying and teaching, we go back to a lot of the Psalms. Psalm 22, 82, 69, and a few others. Because that's when God, thousands of years before, was actually sending through the prophets the very thoughts and the very meditations that Jesus himself would be thinking and experiencing while he was on the cross dying for our sins. With that being said, and knowing that all of this is part and was part of God's plan, take a moment now, if you will, when it says, examine yourself. Be thankful to God that he has included you in his plan of redemption. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread and broke it and blessed it and said, this is my body broken for you. Let us eat together. In like manner, he took the cup and he blessed the cup and said, this is the blood of the New Testament. We do this to show his death, his burial, acknowledge his resurrection, and anticipate his return until he comes again. Let us drink together. All right, ushers, as we get ready for prayer, if anyone is in the vestibule, you can let them in at this time. While they're coming in, I'd like to just remind everyone that this evening, if it's the Lord's will, we will be celebrating the Lord bringing us through another year and anticipating him walking us into the next one. So we will be holding our service at 6 o'clock this evening for all those who would like to attend our New Year's Eve celebratory service. Those who'd like to come to the altar may do so at this time. Highest mountain, and it flows to the the lowest valley. The blood that gives me my strength from day. It's our great God, our Heavenly Father, our sustainer, our maintainer, our creator. We thank you so much for initially choosing us to be your children. And then we thank you, Heavenly Master, for the year 2023. The year has not officially come to a close, but even if we don't see 2024, thank you for the years you have allowed us to see. Thank you for the blessings you've allowed us to enjoy. Thank you for the experiences that have made us who we are today. And thank you for proving to be a God who will never leave us and never forsake us. We thank you, Heavenly Master, because we are learning more and more how blessed we are just to have your favor, to know that you've included us in your covenant, and to know that you have a home waiting for all of those you've chosen. Thank you, Heavenly Master, for proving and continuing to teach us that no one is as faithful as you are. Every morning we see new mercies, and we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your compassion. We thank you for your patience. We know we have at times worn your patience thin, but we thank you for being a God who looks past our faults and still provides what we need. As we come around this throne for those who have special petitions, we pray that you will let them know that you will handle this just like you handled everything else. Let them know that everything that they are going through has already been written in the book of life for them. Not only has the challenge been written, but also the rejoicing. The victory has been written. Also, the praises have been written. And so we ask you to help us to do as you told us in Matthew 6. Just seek first the kingdom of heaven and your righteousness, because everything else you've already taken care of. We love you, honor you, and thank you for choosing to reveal yourself more and more to us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Let's give God some praise this morning, everybody. Lift
came to glorify. I just came to praise the Lord. Worthy, worthy of all my praise. Worthy, worthy of all my praise. Worthy, worthy of all my praise. The rock cry out in my place. He's worthy of all my praise. I just came to magnify. I just came to glorify. I just came to praise the Lord. Oh, he is worthy, worthy of all my praise. Of all my praise, for he is worthy, worthy of all my praise. Never will a rock cry out in my place. He's worthy of all my praise. I just came to magnify. I just came to glorify. I just came to praise the Lord. He's worthy of all my praise. Never will a rock cry out in my place. He's worthy of all my praise. Never, 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 never. I just came to magnify, I just came to glorify, I just came to praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you,
wonderful,
Lord.
Y'all. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, can't turn around.
until I die.
So much. Yes, he has. Father in heaven, we surrender ourselves to your word now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Thank you, Minister McFarland, Minister Terry, Dr. Jones, and our mid-morning choir. Let's turn to 1 Peter, the second chapter. We want to, first of all, allow you to see what the Bible says about how special you are. And then, with that being said, take thought in how or something you can remember if it is the Lord's will to let us walk into and through 2024. So in 1 Peter, the second chapter, 1 Peter, the second chapter, this is a letter from Peter to the church. And specifically, he was writing to Jewish Christians. Peter specifically wrote to Jewish Christians. Paul wrote to the Gentiles. So in verse 1, it says, "So be done," this is to the saints, "with every trace." Okay, I tell you what. Let's go to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. I don't like to say anything without showing it to you. 1 Peter 1, first verse. Everybody see where I am? I want us to be clear about who he's writing to. It says, Peter, is that correct? An apostle or a special messenger of Jesus Christ, writing to the world and all that are therein, writing to everybody, writing to who? The elect. Another word for elect are selected ones. To the ones God has selected. Exiles of the dispersion scattered and sowed abroad in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who were what? And what? By God the Father, and what? Consecrated or sanctified and made holy by what? The Spirit, to do what? Be obedient to Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and to be sprinkled what? With his blood. That's who he's writing to. Everybody here? Those chosen. Those obedient, because they have been selected, chosen, elected, selected. So let's go to chapter 2, verse 1. To these, he says, so be done with every trace of wickedness, depravity, malignity, and all deceit and insincerity or pretense and hypocrisy and grudges, envy and jealousy and slander and evil speaking of every kind. Like newborn babies, you should what? Crave, thirst for, earnestly desire the pure, unadulterated what? Okay. Before I continue, that's why we keep telling you that when the Holy Spirit is there, he's going to change your desires. How does a baby act when they want to be fed? They cry. How often do they cry? How often do they eat? Infants, huh?
Now, this says the elected and the chosen should be just like that for his word. It said you should, didn't it? You should crave, thirst for, earnestly desire the pure. Didn't it say pure? Which means you don't bring nothing else up in it. You don't bring your theology and mix it in. Pure means what it reads is what it says is what's intended. Period. Y'all hear? That by it you may be nurtured and what? Grow. Unto what? Okay, yeah, keep reading with me. You read it louder next time I ask you. Verse 3, since you have already tasted the goodness and kindness of the Lord. Come to him then to that what? That's good. That's better. Which men tried and did what? But which is what? Chosen and precious in God's sight. Now look at 5. Come and like what?
Living stones.
Be yourself built into a what?
Spiritual house.
Stop. He says we are living stones.
Yes.
Because we are like the living stone.
Yes.
And we should be built up into a what? Which is why we added that we're the ministry of Jesus Christ. First of all, we just happen to be at First Baptist. But according to God's word, we are the house of living stone. Y'all here with me? Keep reading and look what it says. You are to be a holy, dedicated, consecrated what?
Priesthood.
Each of you are priests. Each of you are priests. Y'all hear? Which is why you don't need to go to no priest. People going to priests don't know what the word says. You are priests. And look what it says. Why are you priests? It tells you what you should do. It said, y'all see priesthood?
Yeah.
Then it's a comma there, right?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Then after that, what does it say? So you can usher?
No.
So you can sing?
To offer up
those what? Spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable and pleasing to God through whom?
Jesus Christ.
That's the purpose right there. That's the purpose right there. Why don't we beg you for money? Because he ain't tell you to offer no money. Why don't we talk to you about time? It ain't your time in the first place. That's not what he said offer. He said offer spiritual sacrifices. Well, that means God's got to give them to you in order for you to offer them. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. Love. Joy. Peace. Long suffering. Gentleness. Goodness. That's what the Bible said when it said Jesus gave gifts unto men. He gave you what to offer back to him. Yeah, at least one person happy about it. I wish somebody else was happy about it. But you see what I'm saying? He gave you what to offer back to him. That's why I remember when my father came and the last time he taught us, his subject was, what do you have that you didn't receive? Everything you got from him. So you ain't giving him nothing. But the key is, do you have a heart to offer it back? All right, let's keep reading. Verse number 6. For thus it stands in scripture. Last part of verse number 5. Offer spiritual sacrifices that are what? Acceptable and pleasing what? Stop. That means you got to get into the word and find out what is acceptable and what is pleasing. You just can't give him what you want to give him. You can't just say, well, this is what I think he ought to have. No, he told you in the book what to give him. Hello. All right. Keep reading. Verse number 6. For thus it stands in scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a chosen, honored, precious, chief cornerstone. And he who believes in him, who adheres to, trusts in, and relies on him, shall never. Y'all didn't see that. Shall never be disappointed or put to shame. Y'all seeing that? Now here we go. Keep reading. To you then who believe, who adhere to, trust in, and rely on him is the preciousness. But for those who disbelieve, it is true, the very stone which the builders rejected has become the main cornerstone and a stone that will cause what? Stumbling. And a rock that will give men what? You don't want to do it his way. You want to do it your way. And you offend it when he corrects you. And you offended when he won't accept what you give him. Keep reading. They stumble. Is everybody with me? Read this now. First of all, I didn't write this. I want everybody to know I didn't write this. They stumble because they what?
Disobey.
And what? Disbelieve God's what? As those who reject him were destined and appointed. Just want to give y'all a minute. As those who were destined and appointed to do. We don't want to do it God's way. We're going to do it our way. And now you understand, I understand when I was growing up, how individuals would say, well, yeah, this ain't the way we've been doing it, or this ain't the way we used to do it, this ain't the way, and Pastor Mansfield was trying to say, but this is the way God said do it. But I loved them, but many of them said, no, we need to do it this way. Now I understand why they were destined not to see. They were never supposed to get it. It's like in John 8, when the disciples asked Jesus, they said, well, why don't the others kind of follow suit? Why do you talk to them in parables? It was so telling what Jesus said, because to you it has been given, but not to them. Now look at where you are if you've been chosen to receive, and you can. And for you, it's like whatever God says, that's it. And understand that for those that can't receive it, their names were never written. They were never supposed to. You mad at them for not receiving what they were never designed to receive. Where are you when you've been destined to reject him? Where are you when God was making his choices for salvation? And as Romans 9 tells us, there was a group for mercy and a group for wrath. And you ain't in the mercy group. Think you can make him change his mind? Well, I think us supposed to be able to choose. We're going to get to that in a minute. You know what? We're going to get to that in a minute. Because, see, that's some humanistic mess. Those are people that cannot submit to the sovereignty of God. But don't get mad at them. They ain't supposed to. Don't be getting mad. Don't go talking about them. Don't go telling folk, is she dumb or is she blind or is she, no, leave it alone. If you destined and appointed as his child, you'll see. If you ain't, you won't. Y'all reading this, right? Yeah. Now, I didn't make this up. Did I make this up?
No.
Did you reading this back there, Deacon Emerson?
Yes, sir.
I had someone, I told the church this morning, I said, you know, yeah, someone came to me and said, you know, I don't believe that doctrine. I believe that we're supposed to be able, we can do what we want to do. We choose it. You know, that's why in church we have an invocation, because we got to invite Jesus in. You know that's what an invocation is. Hello. Yeah. Cheryl, you know that's what an invocation is. You inviting him in as if he ain't there. And then we don't know no better, so every time we have a program, what we gonna put on there? Invocation. Why? They did it. My people, I ain't gotta continue. Now, what does this have to do with y'all? Are y'all here?
Yes, sir.
Look at verse number 9. But you are a what?
Chosen.
Wait a minute. What's that word?
Chosen.
Which means he chooses.
Yes.
He chooses. You are a chosen race, a royal what?
Priesthood.
A dedicated what?
Nation.
God's own purchased special people. Why? That you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the what? Virtues and what? Perfections of him who called you out of darkness. It's all about demonstrating him. This ain't about your name. This is all about demonstrating him. I always find it interesting. When I go to certain churches, the first picture I see is a picture of the pastor. My old thing is, well, why he up there? This ain't his church. What kind of idolatry you practicing? What is picture doing up in Jesus' church? When the Lord said, I don't want no images, no names, no nothing. If it's mine, it's mine. I ain't sharing it with nobody. If it's yours, let me know, because I'll leave. But y'all sure going to be punished for carrying my name. Come on, y'all. Let's go to Romans 8. Then I'm going to be through. Y'all getting this?
Yes, sir.
I believe that for those of us who take this humanism, this, and I can tell you, I can go and tell you, yeah, pretty soon the book going to finish being published dealing with the sovereignty of God. We'll let y'all know so y'all can buy. And when it comes out, when the publisher's finished, when it comes out, it'll help you see all of the scriptures. The Holy Spirit was the author. He just happened to use me to write it. But you're going to see all of these scriptures that point to the fact that God is sovereign. And I'm going to tell you what I told the group this morning. Like I said, I had somebody saying, you know, I don't believe that. I believe we choose this. I'm probably going to have, you know, Pastor, I can't sit up under that. I'm going to have to. You know, I'm probably going to have to leave. I said, yeah, you. Because as long as I'm breathing, and as long as I can speak, I will always preach the sovereignty of God. Always. Why? Because he's the one I'm going to have to answer to. Come on, let's go to verse number 5. Romans 8, verse number 5. Y'all there?
Yes.
For those who are according to the flesh, and what are those next two words?
Are controlled.
Okay, say that again. What those words say?
Are controlled.
By what? Its unholy desires. What do they do? Set their minds on, and what? Pursue those things which gratify the flesh. Are controlled, which means you ain't free. Which means you ain't got no free will. If that spirit is controlling you. Because it says, if that spirit controls you, it's gonna move you and tell you what to think. And it's going to make you think about how to satisfy it. Didn't y'all see our control by? Didn't it say after control, set their minds on? Come on, y'all talk to me. Am I talking to anybody? Set their minds on. The spirit in them. That's why when we come to choice, when people say, I can choose to do this, choose to do this. First of all, let's be clear. Choice and free will have never been put together. That is a doctrine from Greek philosophy. Choice is not free will. Free will is when you have the ability to create your own options. Choice is when you locked into two options and you can't create another. Either you're going to do right or you're going to do wrong. And it's a forced choice, because the situation in life is going to make you choose.
Amen.
Y'all hear? Amen. Now, step further. The spirit in you is going to be revealed by the choice you make.
Amen.
So your choice is just revealing what's in you. Come on, oh, y'all don't believe me. Y'all don't believe me. Let's keep on reading. Verse number 5. I'm gonna start at the beginning again. For those who are according to the flesh and are controlled by its unholy and are controlled by its set their minds on and pursue those things which gratify what?
The flesh.
But those who are according, that's why if your focus in church and your focus in Christ is on the material, on the secular, your focus is on things that ain't got nothing to do with what's in this book. Then that's another spirit controlling you. And how you behave is going to demonstrate to everybody else who's really in charge of you. That's why the Bible said, love your enemies. Don't do any harm to them. Just sit back and watch. The Lord said the battle is mine. The Lord said the battle is mine. But I need to teach you something. So you stand back. Keep your eyes open. Be as harmless as doves and as wise as serpents. Be still and know. Wait a minute. He didn't say be still and find out, did he?
No.
He said be still and what?
No.
Y'all here? Oh, praise the Lord. I'm enjoying myself. I don't know about y'all, but I'm enjoying myself. I enjoy the word. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know that I am. Well, preacher, we need to do this. Be still. Keep in mind, I was handling this thousands of years before you got here. I think I know what I'm doing by now. But your choices reveal your steering spirit. Come on, let's keep reading. It says, though, but those who are controlled by the desires of... Y'all see where I am? Mm-hmm. Okay, let me read 5 again. I'm going to start at the beginning. For those who are according to the flesh and are controlled by its unholy desires, set their minds on and pursue those things which gratify what? The flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, and there those words are again, are controlled by the what? Desires of the Spirit. Controlled by what? The desires of the Spirit. That's what the psalmist meant when he said, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. He wasn't talking about giving you what you want. He said, I'm going to give you what you want. Come on, y'all, keep reading. They set their minds on and seek those things which gratify who?
The Spirit.
Now the mind of the flesh, which is sense and reason without the Holy Spirit, is what?
Death
that comprises all the miseries arising from sin, both here and hereafter. But the mind of the Holy Spirit is life and what?
Peace.
Why? 7. That is because the mind of the flesh with its carnal thoughts and purposes is what? For it does not submit itself to
God's law.
Why?
It cannot.
Jump down with me, y'all. I'm going to end it on this. Verse number. Come on down to verse number 26. So if you are chosen, if you have God's Spirit, if you want what the Holy Spirit wants, do you understand how blessed you are? Y'all didn't hear me, did you? Do you understand that only God can give you that kind of heart? And do you understand that God chose to give it to you? Verse number 26. So too the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our what?
Weakness.
Now look at this. For we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf with what? And groanings too deep for utterance. And he who searches the hearts of men knows what is in the mind of the who and what his intent is. Look at this, y'all. Because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God, what? According to and in harmony with what? Your will? My last passage. We are assured and know that God, being a partner in their labor, y'all here with me? All things work together and are what? That's where I'm going to stop. Y'all know the rest of it. Fitting into a what?
Plan.
So if it's fitting into a plan, that means the plan has already been.
Amen.
Which is why the Lord said, take no thought for tomorrow.
All right.
Tomorrow, did y'all notice what he said in Matthew 6? Tomorrow will take care of itself. Everything planned for you and tomorrow is waiting on you tomorrow. But for 2024, I want to end with this. Asking y'all to keep it hot. Keep it hot. Yeah, I got a lot of amens and people didn't even know what I was talking about this morning. Keep it hot. Now, HOT is an acronym. Okay? First, if something happens, that's the H, then it must have been ordained, which is the O, which means if it was ordained, God's already taken care of it. If something happens, it was ordained.
Yes.
If it was ordained, God's already taken care of. Come on, Dr. Jones. Bow your heads. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you for the spiritual milk and giving your children a hunger for it. We ask, Father in heaven, that you will continue to lead, guide, and direct us so that everything we are and everything we become reflects your glory and your honor.
If there's somebody here who has not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, right where you are, you can say, Lord, I believe you died for my sins at Calvary. And I believe that you arose 3 days later. After that, ask him, Lord, fill me with your spirit because I want you to set my mind on things that please you. Because your word tells us only what you do for Christ will last. For someone who is not a member of this congregation but would like to join, at the end of the service, right there behind the pews, you'll see cards. Feel free to fill out that card. Leave it in the box in the vestibule, and there will be saints waiting to receive it. And as soon as they receive it, they will call you, and it would be an honor for us to love you with the love of Jesus Christ here at his house of living stone. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, and invisible. To him be all of the glory, all of the majesty, all of the honor, and all of the power. Not only now, but through the eternities of the eternities. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Just a quick reminder, if you're able, come back and join us this evening at 6 o'clock if it's the Lord's will and we live. Have a good rest of the day.